first of all start by giving you the significance of this summit, which will be the 21st summit of heads of state and government of Africa. But it is also coinciding with the 50th anniversary of the OAU and the AU, which will take place on the 25th itself. And that's why this summit was organized to coincide with that, because ordinarily our summit takes place in July, but this summit has been brought forward because of this momentous occasion. But of course then, for the summit, as Africa will be celebrating 50 years, we'll be reflecting, first of all, on the road traveled and looking at experiences, missed opportunities and challenges, but also where Africa prevailed. From it, take lessons as to where Africa should be going to the future, which should inform what we are calling Agenda 2063, which will be the output document for the year-long celebrations, because even as we celebrate on the 25th, we recognize that these celebrations should, first of all, be done throughout the continent, involve all Africans in all their formations, including the youth, the women, the business community, and the collectively during the year reflect on specific themes all together and making sure that all Africans participate to develop what we call a trajectory that will help us to go to 2063, for which we already agree that it should be Africa that is prosperous, Africa that is united, Africa that is peaceful.
We've known that since last year, the African Union has done its bit to resolve some of these challenges on the continent, conflict and all that. Looking forward, should Africans be hopeful about a more peaceful continent, a continent that is ready to rise despite its potential and despite criticisms leveled against both the continent and the continental body?
Well, first of all, as you say, Africa's approach to conflict. If you look at this continent, say 10 years ago, there were no less than 15 conflicts raging throughout the continent, and some of them threatening to tear apart some countries, if not jeopardize the whole project of integration. But 10 years on, one can say we now have less than 5 conflicts. And even those 5, Africa is on top of the agenda in managing them, working together with the international community. And so the reduced number, because of not just the intervention, but structures that have been put in place to make sure that conflicts don't arise, and if they arise, systems to intervene when they have arisen to make sure that you bring them to an end and assist countries in post-conflict, but more so the prevention mechanism that is in place. And so I can answer, yes, Africa should be optimistic because I see leaders who are determined to bring this to an end. I see concerned citizens who want to make sure that this comes to an end, and so we should be able to be hopeful in that. It's about chrism, I don't know, but you are not specific on what it is that you're talking about. But I can tell you that, yes, Africa is really doing its best. And one can say it isn't that we are all satisfied, that we have done, we are where we should be. We recognize that, yes, we have not attained our goals. And that's why we have this celebration, to say what is it that we can then change so that it's not business as usual, that we can do better than what we have done in the past. So that is, call it an assessment, and that's part of the reflections. And I think we are allowed to do that ourselves, and that's what we want to do.
What will heads of state be looking at critically as they meet this coming weekend?
One of the things they will be looking at, of course, the theme of this summit is on Pan-Africanism and Renaissance. And under this theme, Africa will be looking at that spirit of Pan-Africanism that inspired through solidarity, unity of purpose, for us to be able to get rid of colonialism and its shackles. Then, of course, the summit will be looking at the issue of Renaissance. How can we invoke that kind of same spirit of Pan-Africanism so that we can energize, we can arise out of this summit? And to that extent, they will be looking at a proclamation that they want to issue on Monday, as they agreed before to do, and I don't think I can go into the details, And I think that is something then we can look forward to see what the leaders want to do. And I don't think I want to preempt all their debate before they arrive here, because that's what they will be discussing.
How is the African Union cooperating with member states to see economic empowerment of citizens across the country, the continent? Because it has always been said that Africa always seemed to have the huge potential, yet the potential is not realized. What is different? What is the AU doing to ensure a realization of the objectives that the AU has set itself in terms of empowering people on the continent economically?
That is indeed a very good question. And there's one question that we remain to discuss, not just now, but we have also been reflecting on for some time. And indeed, as you mentioned, one of the big challenges now the continent is facing is we have a young population, majority of which is below 30 years. And this segment of very energetic part of our population is unemployed. So one of the empowerment that you're talking about is if you look at our strategic plan, for instance, 2014-2017, we have identified a number of priorities, 8 of them. Chief among them is to talk about the human resource that we have in the continent. First, to empower them in 2 aspects. Give them skills, enable them to access capital so that they can then be able to create employment. And of course, we leave this to be also reflected upon by member states at the individual level to see how best they can do it. But at the continental level, we are even talking about us looking for skills that are scarce in the continent, because we may be having unemployment because we lack certain skills. The second part of it, and also as part of empowerment, is to talk about structural transformation of the continent. Because if you look at Africa's foreign trade, for instance, we're exporting raw materials, importing finished wood. These same raw materials are transformed as finished woods abroad, brought back as finished wood. It's not visible that Africa can continue on this trend and succeed. So we have to create employment. That employment means structural transformation, creating jobs, meaning adding value. And this is where we want the private sector to play its role. But we know that part of the challenge is that our markets are too small, and we want to expand our markets so that there is a market in the continent. Not that there are no consumers, but because the market is not integrated. To remove barriers, these barriers, which we could call enablers, first of all, infrastructure, and infrastructure in both ways, removing the non-tariff and non-tariff tariff, so that if Africa has this huge market, then you can start to see development as what is happening elsewhere. Europe is trading more in Europe. In the North America is trading more. In Asia is trading more. But Africa is not trading enough, because Africa is only trading about 10%. These are some of the areas that we need to take on board as we move forward for the future.